Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So everybody got those that are on text message for prayer chain got a message for Phyllis, and she has a severe case of shingles on her head and her neck and in her ears. And so she did not know what it was, and she has suffered in great pain all week, and they found out on Friday that's what she had. So please be praying for Phyllis. She's in really bad pain, and I spoke with her this morning. She finally got a night's somewhat of a night's sleep last night, not the whole way, but somewhat. So she did feel a little bit better this morning just for having rested. So we need to keep her in our prayers. And then our granddaughter, Lana, is having allergic reaction to a medication, and she is going on day two of wheezing, hives. She's just really not doing very well. So if you guys would remember to pray for her, that would be good too. Anybody else? Father, we thank you for this morning and for this day, God, that you made. And we choose, we get to rejoice and be glad in it, God. And we love you. We thank you. Father, this morning we're so thankful because today we get to freely worship you. And Father, so those that don't, those that have to hide it due to law or whatever, God, I pray especially for them this morning, God. Their faith would be strengthened. Their hearts would be encouraged. God, we're so blessed, and sometimes we don't even realize it. Father, this morning I want to lift Phyllis to you. Father, as she is laying there, God, in pain, I just pray, Holy Spirit, no distance in you, that you just cover her with comfort and peace and healing. Let her body receive the rest that it needs, God. Touch her in the name of Jesus. We also lift our little Lana to you, God. You've healed her heart, and now we're praying for allergy attack. We pray you touch her, God, that you would just bring these hives under control, God, and her wheezing would stop. Father, that again, you would be glorified, Lord, and our family, our kids would see you working in Lana's life and her sweet little life, God. We thank you, God. We commit this time to you, God. We give it to you. You do what needs to be done today, God. You don't need our permission. You don't need our welcome. You are here. And so, Father, you do the work that needs to be done in each one of our hearts, God. Let this time not be wasted. Let this time not be pilfered away. But, God, let it bring you glory and honor. And, Father, may you find joy in our worship today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Sun comes up. Oh,
whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Who you are.
know just what to do. That one song says, go back up here, I surrender. And, you know, it talks about a desperation and a great desire for the Lord. And the key to surrendering and giving up everything is looking to Him. So those songs go together so well. That when we look to the Lord, we are surrendering. When we turn over our own plans and agendas and desires and stuff that a lot of times just gets in the way of us truly being fulfilled. Because true fulfillment comes from things of God. The rest is... what do you want to call it? Just life. And it can get in the way of God's true desire for us. Which His true desire for us is to be like Him. To have His nature, His character. To allow that Christ in us to fully manifest and have its full, complete work in us. So with that being said, we're back in John chapter 8. And this is the next verse immediately again after Jesus has given the woman who was caught in adultery grace and compassion.
and encouraged her to go and sin no more, that he did not condemn her. Yes.
About that song we just sang.
God, I look to you.
I got a picture in my head. You know, that surrender song here.
Oh, I surrender. Okay.
And I'd like to share it just.
Sure. Go ahead and come on up, Bob.
Okay.
See if I can get it out. I've been going through kind of a transition in my life, you know, and asking the Lord, well, what do you want me to do, you know? And when we sang that song, Surrender, you know, he kind of showed me, well, you got to get out on a limb, you know, for me. And then I saw a picture of the devil with a chainsaw going after that limb I'm out on, you know. And so here I am grabbing for the next limb, and I'm trying to get up on that. And here he comes with chainsaw and cutting that limb off, you know. Then I just got to trust the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of left me at that, you know. But I think that's where a lot of us maybe are, and if we're not there, maybe we should be getting there, you know. So I just
having full confidence and trust in the Lord, no matter what the circumstances look like,
right?
No matter how much the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy what he wants to do in and through our lives. Amen. I agree with that. And that's quite the picture. Enemy chopping down the tree that the Lord asks us to get down on, get out the limb to get out on. Well, thank you, Lord.
Thanks. Fear.
He's got what?
A fear tactic.
Oh yeah, fear is his tool.
False evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm. And it appears real, but it also seems very real to our senses if we're looking at life with the natural eyes and our own understanding. It can captivate our hearts. That's why we're to not look at the things that are seen. We're to look at the things that are unseen. We're to look at the invisible realm that is more real than this realm. And I say that a lot because I think we need to be reminded of a lot, because 99.9% of the time we think in the natural. We think, you know, I've got to go to work today. I've got this customer to sell this to, or I've got to, you know, please my boss, or, you know, it's a never-ending deal. But it's still all temporal. Now, does God use it for his glory? Absolutely. When we have a life that has been surrendered and yielded to the Lord, then our normal day, everyday task can bring him glory. Because we are a example of him in this normal life.
Right.
Hopefully, right? Praise the Lord. So, after Jesus has released this woman, we know that he ends up, because of what is described here, he ends up at the treasury. So I don't think he was in the treasury. It sounds like he was in the court previous, but now he's ending up in the treasury. So let's go ahead and read from verse 12. Do you want to read?
Can you say what ESV means?
Again? ESV is early, senile, no, it's
easy.
Yeah, you've looked at it before. English Standard Version. Yeah, English Standard. I was going to make a stupid acronym, but yeah. The Bible. No. It's John 8:12-30. B-I-B-L-E.
Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the
Word of
God.
The B-I-B-L-E.
That's a little kid song. You're talking to children's pastors.
And every time you go up a key. The B-I-N, it's pretty, you can't sing it anymore, so. We were children's pastors, remember? So we still have those things in us, so. B-I-B-L-E? No, the title, just call it John 8, 12 through 30. We'll just, no title this time. We'll really mess people up. Well, where's the title? It's like, make up one. It's not that big of a deal. Okay.
You have.
I know. Normally I title things, but today's the untitled sermon. You want to call it that? The untitled sermon? There you go.
Welcome to my world, people. I deal with this daily.
Hey, praise
okay,
the Lord, right?
John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Okay, so again, Jesus spoke to them. So I don't know, but the way that this, in most translation, it sounds like Jesus could potentially be talking to those same ones who were trying to trap that woman, possibly. Because he's speaking to them, or he could be speaking to the crowd now that has potentially gathered around after this last situation with this woman right. who was caught in the act of adultery. Right. So I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That could have been the sermon. In John 9, though, he does talk some more about this. So that's probably when we'll follow up on that. But he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And when we follow him as his believers, when we follow him as those who are trusting in what he has done for us, that is his death, burial, and resurrection, and the life that he gives us because of that, we don't walk in darkness. So even though our world, Bob, may seem dark, the situations may seem dark, it seems like the enemy is trying to, you know, throw his whole arsenal against us. We're not in darkness. We can have the light of life. The very light that was in Christ, we can have that fully operating and activating in us. But the key is to continue to follow him. That's the thing about following. It is a continual process. I mean, you can choose to follow Jesus today, and tomorrow maybe you don't choose to follow him in your heart the way you did. And guess what? It seems like more of that darkness seems to creep in. But as long as we keep our heart fixed on him, like Paul said in Hebrews 12, I believe it is, to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And not to let the pressures of life, the things that so easily entangle us, which could be our sins or could just be our shortcomings, our failures, and could be our being transfixed on this life instead of on Jesus, then we don't have that light of life flowing in us, even though it is there. Just like we heard last week and for the last few weeks, that God is in us. That's not going to change. He is there. He's chosen residence in us. But how much of that light shines? Just like you said, how much do we surrender to the work of God in us?
Right.
I surrender. That's why that song is so important as well. That it takes a willingness for us to say, I'm not going to control this thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if you're driving a car, it'd be like saying, I'm not going to steer this car anymore.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel. I'm getting the back seat so I can cover my eyes while wherever you're taking us, because you're driving. I mean, it is an act of faith, because it doesn't always make sense to take your hands off of something and say, you know what? The Lord will take care of this. I think you and I were talking about something this week, and I think I said, you know, I'm just going to put that in the Lord's hands and see what he does with it. I don't want to inject my will or my desire that may circumvent what he wants to do.
Right.
And I don't want to cause someone else or a situation to respond in a way because I've injected my thoughts and my plans in it when it was God's idea to fight for me.
Right.
Or to work on my behalf. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what'd the Pharisees say to him?
So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from. I know where... For I know where
So I know where, for I know where I came from.
Okay, the I is missing on mine. I'm sorry. For right. I know where I came from.
There you go. It's right up there.
And where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not alone. It
not
is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Sorry, this is cutting off. On
sorry.
Mine.
Okay.
It's okay.
The PDF didn't like it. Okay, so hang on a second here. So they said to him after this, the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So basically what they're saying is like, you're a one-man show here, Jesus. You're making these claims, you're communicating this stuff. Yeah, you may have some miracles and stuff, but your testimony's not true. You're bearing witness of yourself. In other words, you're your own
one-man band.
Yeah, you're tooting your own horn. And so basically they're trying to make it so that his witness to the others is being questioned. Because they don't want people to follow him. That's their main goal. Their main goal is to make it so that the people will question him and not follow him. Because when they're not following him, when they're following him, guess who they're not following? Them. Mm-hmm. And when they're not following them, they may not be paying their money. They may not be doing their tithes. This is a whole control thing that's going on right now. Which, you know, I'm sure you guys have been in situations where someone's trying to control the situation by influencing either others around you or influencing you in a way that you'll respond to them in the way that they want you to,
right.
Not the way that's right or pure.
Right.
So Jesus answers, if I do bear witness about myself. So in other words, okay, even if I am bearing witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came, where I come from, or where I am going. He says this many times, and I'm sure it probably is really frustrating to them. I mean, it must just, I'm wondering if it almost sounds like Charlie Brownish to them, because they don't have a concept as much as some of the other individuals, you know, people who aren't so religiously entrenched about God. You know, they have a very poor vision of God, obviously, because when God came in the flesh, they couldn't handle him.
Right.
They just thought God was just a mean, old, grumpy old man. I think that's what they thought, and they had to keep him pleased. And Jesus came and said, no, he's your Abba Father. He loves you. He's your daddy. He's your, and it's like, I don't know what God you're talking about, you know, because we saw the God that, you know, that slew the Syrians. We saw the God that, you know, that split the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptians, you know, and they missed the God of the Song of Solomon. They missed the God that David knew, you know, that his whole heart was feeling his steadfast love. Never changes. His mercy never come to an end. They're new every morning. See, that thing that David picked up on, they were foreign of. Mm-hmm. See, if David would have been there, he probably would have been following Jesus. Oh, you're the one I've been looking for. You're the one I was worshiping in the unknown secret place of my heart. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of like how I viewed my own earthly father, because he was a Navy man and he was, you know, a grumpy old man. And but in looking back at pictures, I saw a different man than the one I knew as a child. I saw a very different man. I saw a loving man, emotional man, one that I willingly as a child would sit as close to as I could get, put my arms around, whatever. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard this statistic, but one negative thing can erase 10 positive things. As a child, I allowed that to happen. But in looking back on the pictures, in looking back on what was really written about my dad, because that was the truth, the pictures that you saw.
It's worth 1,000 words, I
hear.
It
is worth 1,000 words or more. I recognized what my dad really was. He was a more rounded individual than I gave him credit for. And God is that complete, well-rounded everything that we need. And we can't take one aspect of him and judge on that. We
right.
have to take the whole aspect of God and take it from that point. And yes, he is a judging God. He says so himself. But he's also a loving God. And his very name means love, truth, comfort, peace, all the things that we need as a child of God.
Amen. So then Jesus says, you judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. So you're judging me according to everything that you see with your natural eyes. You're not judging me according to the Spirit.
Right.
Because Jesus says the words that I speak to you are their spirit and their life. And so when we judge things according to all that we just see with our natural eyes, most of the time we're missing it.
Right.
Whether it be people or whether it be situations or even political parties, you know, or certain types of institutions. When we just judge by what we see with our eyes, we miss potentially the hearts. Maybe the overall institution may be bad, but then there's individuals in there that have hearts that are pure.
Right.
They're just there because that's what they knew. And it's not going to be that will get them to, it's going to be someone loving them
right.
that will get their heart to turn.
Right.
So yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Okay. 17.
Okay, you need to go
I'm
ahead.
I'm way behind.
There you
Sorry.
Go. Mm-hmm.
Guys, keep me going here.
In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.
I love this. So Jesus says, in your law, it's written that the testimony of two people is true. So there's two people here. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father also bears witness about me. Now, we know if we go back to the very first two or three chapters of John, that the Father bore witness of the Son in Matthew chapter 4. Is it chapter 4? Chapter 3. We have John the Baptist, you know, saying, this is the Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the God the Father, when he was baptized, saying, this is my Son. So mm-hmm. there was that witness. But again, they're just trying to stir up trouble. But Jesus is trying to tell them a truth. He's saying, listen, the Father, my Father bears witness on me. So they said, okay, where is your Father, Jesus?
Bring him in.
Yeah, and so they're thinking, what? Their natural eyes. What Father are they thinking of, Tim? They're thinking of Joseph.
Maybe even not.
Possibly.
Because
maybe Joseph isn't there now.
No, maybe Joseph isn't the father, remember.
No, but I'm just saying they're thinking in the natural.
Oh, yes.
Well, where is your father?
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know neither me nor my father.
Right.
If you knew me, you would know my father also. And so what's tripping them up and trips us up is if we think in the natural. If we think of Jesus in the flesh. I think it's in Corinthians. It says that we used to know Jesus in the flesh, but we don't know him that way any longer. So if you have somebody communicating Jesus to you, and it's all about the things that he did here, just the cross, just all his earthly ministry, they're not communicating the true gospel, because the true gospel is Christ resurrected, the Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, Christ going into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And see, there's things that Jesus did that were outside of this earthly realm. This earthly realm was to communicate to humanity our ability to be like him. But who Jesus is now is glorified, is magnified. And so if we just think of Jesus in the flesh, we miss the full gospel of Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that there are some that are ones that want to believe that they can see in the supernatural only when it benefits them. Mm-hmm. And then they pop back to the flesh because it benefits them. And that they're sliding back and forth. We have to be very careful about doing that. And the reason I'm saying that is because we have to have an eternal perspective about God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. Because he is eternal. We can't have an earthly perspective about eternal Father. We have to have an eternal perspective about our eternal Father. And the ones that go back and forth for their own good pleasure, they're the ones that can tend to trip everybody up because they slide back and forth so easily between the natural and the supernatural. And this may be hard sometimes to understand what we're talking about today. This might be hard to grasp. But what we have to be able to say in the bottom line is this. God, you put that in there for a reason. This word is in here for a reason. Please help me see the truth of it. What's it mean to me today? It may not be the same revelation that it means to my husband that it means to me. But God, I need to see what you need me to see today. Like, I need to see maybe I'm going the way and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Maybe I need to see that. That's the next scripture we're coming to. But I may need to see that today because maybe I am seeking after only a God that benefits me for this time period in my life. But I have to take the all of God. I have to take, and where he is eternal. Where he's at is an eternal, what's the word I'm looking for? Existence. It's mm-hmm. an eternal existence. And we have to be able to go there with him. And that is something that we just have to do on a daily basis. We have to say, okay, God, I may not understand all this, but here we go. And it's almost like when we first came to the Lord, we didn't understand all there was to know about God.
Oh, no.
But we had faith to believe that what was said about him was true enough to save our soul.
And we followed him.
And we followed
as
him.
He continued to lead along the way.
Exactly. And this is just another leading in that.
Amen. And if we know Jesus, we'll know the Father.
Right.
So I've heard some people say, well, you know, I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't have a relationship with the Father. Wrong. If you have a relationship with Jesus,
you have a relationship
with the Father.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, you know, I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus and the Father, you know, I just don't really have. No, if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you have a relationship with Jesus and the Father. The problem that we have is these distinctions of these offices, Jesus the Son, God the Father, Holy Spirit. And we tend to think of, and we showed, I think, a couple weeks ago, they're together, even though they're three separate, I guess I would call them three separate distinct parts of one.
Yeah.
But they're still all one. So if we know Jesus, we know the Father. That's why Jesus says to disciples, in I think it's in 14, listen, what do you mean, Philip? Show us the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're the same.
Exactly.
So if you guys want to know what the Father's like, read about Jesus. One and the same. Okay. These words he spoke. Go ahead.
In the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come?
So notice that they catch, you know, where I'm going, you cannot come. They don't catch the, you will seek me and you will die in your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's forget about that.
Selective hearing.
Selective memory, selective hearing. But what Jesus is trying to communicate is because of their frame and their heart, the frame of reference that they're dealing with, and that's the wrong perspective. God not being a God of love, God not being a God of compassion, them wanting to control and manipulate people so that they can reap the rewards, whether it be financially or whether it be them being esteemed in the marketplace or whatever it is. As Jesus said in another place, you seek, you desire for people to look at you. You have your reward. Mm-hmm. That fact that you want people to notice you, that's your reward because you're getting it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you're not getting what's important. And what's important is that their sin, that part of them that was not being fully transformed into who God wanted them to be, they were going to die in it. Mm-hmm. Unless they would follow him. Mm-hmm. Unless they would change their ways and stop walking in darkness. He would be the light of their life. We know that there were Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and stuff who did change their mind. They would say, "Well, I'm not." That was a really good answer, Jesus. And they would puzzle and they would ask him something else. And go, "You're not too far from the kingdom." So we know that there were individuals in this camp that were seeking. Mm-hmm. That weren't just happy with status quo. Mm-hmm. They wanted all of God. But there were other ones in there that were just basically, you know, being used by the devil. Because he says, your father, the devil, is the one that's leading you.
Right.
So go ahead. Where Vicky, I'm going, you cannot come. But we can go. What?
I was just going to say that sometimes it's like
19. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because sometimes, you know, we're all about, you know, a lot of times we just want to go and get people saved and we just want to get people to get it. But sometimes what we have to do is just plant a seed.
Yes.
Amen.
If you get somebody to ask questions, then that's the first step to
it. Right.
And as they question and allow the truth to penetrate their heart, the truth will make them free eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 23, he said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning."
So this is very, very deep. This is very deep. He's communicating that he is from above. He's from the kingdom of God. He's from God himself. He's not from this origin. He says, and you're of this world. You're from below. Mm-hmm. This is what you know. Now, at another point, he tells his disciples that they're not of this world. Mm-hmm. And what was the difference between his disciples and these folks? They believed. Well, and he said they were not of this world even before he went to the cross. So even he was distinguishing what was happening inside of them even before he went to the cross, that they're not of this world.
Right.
Guys, you're not of this world. We are not of this world. This world is not our home. I think I'm trying to remember the title of the sermon. You speak of time. It was a little cliche, but the point was is that this place is not our permanent home. This is just a temporary stay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we've checked into, you know, a hotel for a while, or we're at, you know, I don't want to call it a resort, you know, but we're in a parched desert land. I don't know, but
Motel
it's
8.
Motel 8, yeah, or 6, or, ooh, whatever that could be bad, yeah. Disclaimer, One Life Family Worship does not approve. You know what they say, One Life Family Worship does not approve this comment or something like that. Anyway. The point being is that we're in a temporary place.
Yeah.
And it says that this isn't even where we're at, because we're not of this world. We're actually of the kingdom of God, and in a way we're more of heaven right now than we are of this place.
Right.
Which is so hard to understand, because Jesus is trying to communicate this truth to them. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, that's a very interesting that I am he. They're going like, well, who are you then? You're saying, believe I am he. He's trying to say, unless you believe that I am, and I'd be interested to see if in the Aramaic, if it said I am, he's using that I am statement, that I am he, you will die in your sins. In other words, he's saying, listen, you have to believe that I am God, or you're going to die in your sins.
Right.
It does say I am in the Jewish Bible.
It does.
It says, for Yeshua said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am who I say I am.
Oh, he uses the I am, and that's the next.
Capitalized.
That's the next scripture down. Okay, good. That's good to know. So, and then Jesus said, they said, who are you? Jesus said to him, just what I've been telling you all along.
You almost want to put a duh at the end.
A little bit,
duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 26.
I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They do not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father.
So they did not understand that when Jesus was saying that I am he, who he was, that he was speaking to them about the Father. They could not get that. Now, hopefully we're getting it today, but that is the key, that Jesus and God are the same people. Now, some people will say that Jesus is a great prophet. Some people will say that he was you know, sent from God. And that he was even, and they will even say that it's necessary to believe in what he did in the cross so that we can have salvation. But you have to go one step further. Because the spirit of Antichrist says that God did not come in the flesh. But God did come in the flesh. God, the creator of all mankind. That's why it says in John 1, the word that was in the beginning, the word that spoke all of existence into creation, that word became flesh. God became flesh. It's huge. It's what separates us from many other religions, many other cults, is that God himself came in the flesh.
Wow.
All right. 28, 29, and 30.
So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him.
So here we go. Just like Vicky was saying, that, yep, he is. This is what he would be saying if we were to be able to read the language of that day. So Yeshua spoke again to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am the living God. That's what he was saying. I am he. I am the living God. I don't know how much more in your face he was to, you know, and we wonder why they wanted to kill him. It's because he was using the term that Moses was given at the burning bush of who do they say that I, who is it, I should say, sent me to go deliver the people? Well, I am that I am sent you. That's the terminology that he was using. I am the living God. Then he says, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So Jesus is saying, I only do, only speak, I only act as the Father has shown me to act. So even though there was this dynamic that God himself came in the flesh, he yielded himself while he was here as a man, and he needed to be led and guided and directed by the Spirit and the Father. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And then it says, and as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So if you don't read the I am the living God, you would say, well, why do people believe in him with this whole discourse? Because it just sounds like they're arguing. But I believe that he said, I am the living God, that many believed in him in that statement. Yes?
If you read in the King James,
uh-huh,
the word after I am, he is not there. He is in italics.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So I am.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, our English translations sometimes leave us lacking.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's good to know that there are other translations out there. And not that the, you know, I'm not trying to say that these other translations are bad, because there's a lot of times they help really clarify,
right,
some of the things that we're not understanding.
Correct.
But in their quest to simplify things, sometimes they do what I call watering down the truth of the word. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those times. What?
The truth is lost in translation.
Truth is lost in translation. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth, and not just man's verses and man's words and man's saying. So, praise the Lord. All right, does anybody have anything else? Luna, do you have anything? She's got nothing. She is happy, though. Praise the Lord. I am the light of the world.
Yeah. He says, I am the light of the world. Then followeth me, ye shall not walk in darkness.
But we'll have the light of life.
Yeah, and we'll have the light of life.
Hold just a second. There you go.
I've heard a lot of speculation about the creation, you know. When Adam and Eve were created, they were clothed with light.
They're beings of light. I believe that. They were made in his image.
Yeshua, when he was created, he was clothed with light too. But he had to wrap himself in darkness so he wouldn't be exposed right off, you know. Because if he's the Messiah and he's trying to hide that, you know, for only those that want to accept him, you know, there's... You know, it would kind of defeat his purpose.
Right. We know on the Mount of Transfiguration that his glory shone.
Right.
That the disciples got to see that glory that was in him. Go ahead.
One place in Revelation it talks about being clothed with the sun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and that same glory, you know, that you're talking about, this light, is in us. And the thing is that as we are changed from glory to glory, it says that as we are in Romans 12:2, as our mind is renewed, and our mind isn't just our natural brain. Our mind is the center of who we are. You call it like our heart. As that's being transformed, we're being changed or metamorphosized, which means transformed, transfigured. Same word that was used for Jesus when he was transfigured. From glory to glory, we're being changed to be more like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And so that's a good point, though, Bob, that right.
But we have to keep all it's a continual thing.
It is a choice.
It's a minute by minute, maybe
yeah.
Second by
yeah.
Second thing.
Minute to win it. In it to win it. Minute to win it.
It's no different than any other relationship.
Right.
You know? I mean, you and I, every time we get up on the new morning, we're choosing to follow our commitment and our covenant to each other and choose love. You know, even when there's rough times, like this week, I made a boo-boo. I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect husband. But, you know, when I realize it, I ask for forgiveness. And, you know, but it's like she's, you know, got to deal with this shortcoming. Because I tell people who are getting married now, this is my first line I tell them, I want you to know that marriage is a total commitment to an imperfect individual. It's not like all of a sudden you're going to hit the jackpot in Las Vegas, you know, and just millions and millions are coming in. You know, it's going to be lean times, and it's going to be sometimes flourishing times, but it's a commitment to somebody that needs to change, and you can't change them. That's the sad part. You can try to change them, but you're going to be miserable. It's only when it's internal that we allow this change to take place. Little marriage counseling going on today, or anybody who needs to hear that. When you allow God to change your spouse becomes who God wanted them to be. And normally, that links up with who you need them to be. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
All right, that's good, Bob. What's that?
Because he did put us each together for a reason.
He did, yep. We're as they say, helpmates, you know, where one is weak, the other's strong, where one's strong, the other's weak. And it's a balancing of the scales. Like if you just had all my personality up here, of course we know why we're up here, because it helps balance the communication that's coming forth on Sundays. And I think that's important, you know, in the day we live in. It's not about me trying to convince you guys about something anymore. It's not about me trying to phrase my words in such a way that you like you're convinced because of my arguments. No, it's about hopefully the truth will penetrate your heart, and that we can be transparent and open of how the truth has changed us, then it can have an opportunity to affect you. Instead of, you know, rubber stamping everyone in this room so we all believe the same and look the same and smell the same. And that could be a bad thing or a good thing, depending on who we're trying to smell like. But the point being is that we're not copy, you know, cookie cutter Christianity. We are all individuals with relationship with the Father. And as we yield and surrender our heart to what the Father wants to do in us and use each other's encouragement and challenge, you know, there's that ironing, sharpening iron that takes place. But it's still a matter of us yielding and surrendering. That's why it's necessary for us to say, I surrender. It's not for me to say, you surrender.
Yeah, you could say that.
You surrender. No, it's not. It's I surrender. There has to be a willingness. God wants a cheerful giver. That's not just your money. That's your whole heart. Your whole life. That's why, you know, in some churches they need ministry people, or they need people to do things, and they make them feel guilty to get them to go clean the floor. But they don't have the desire to do it. Well, it's doing them no good in the kingdom. Right? It should be someone with a willing heart. Now, I know sometimes you have people that are on staff and you have to have them do certain things. But I'm talking about people who are just volunteers in the church. There has to be a desire. Mm-hmm. Right, Jesse?
Yeah.
I don't force Jesse to come here. I'm so thankful because, I mean, I don't think I could. It's a hard job, especially with his health. He's been tired, but he comes here faithfully. Which that's a testament to him being a cheerful individual when he yields this to the Lord. And he knows that you know, the little bit that we pay him, which is a smile every now and then, and I appreciate that, is not really what he's after. Even if we were paying him money, it wouldn't be what he was after. He's after what he knows would please the Lord.
Right.
And the glory that comes from him being part of our lives being changed, from right. The sound being able to be heard.
Right.
You know, case in point.
It would be very hard for Phyllis to hear me right now. My mic was off. We didn't have any sound. Very important, like he does.
Very.
Oh, speaking of sound, go ahead, Jess.
Oh.
Yeah, put it to him, or just let him know what's going on. Yeah, well, you brought it up. It's on your heart.
All of us, yeah. This board is going away. The other church that is renting from us, it belongs to them. And we had the opportunity to buy the board from them for a used price. So But based on the fact that we've been having some troubles with the sound system for the last, I think, about 5 or 6 weeks, Pastor Mike and I decided to not take the chance on this board and just get a refurbished replacement with a 3-year warranty, if I remember right.
Right.
And so because it's this exact same model, we'll be able to just take this one out, put the replacement in, and load our profile into it, our scene, and just take off right from there. But what that means is that Pastor Mike and Dave put that on their personal credit card. And so we really should take up an offering to pay for this replacement board that we had to purchase.
Yeah, and you know, it's hopefully you'll remind me to mention it a few times so that you know, people can give towards it. The board itself, I think, was with tax and everything, wasn't it like 1850 or something?
Right in that neighborhood.
I think it was, which that's like was brand new, a $3,000 board. You can buy them new now for like $2,500. So we think we got a good deal. And the thing is that we, you know, maybe could have went with another type of board, but again, because of the system and everything, it just made sense to get that. And it was a good price. We got it on eBay, and hopefully it'll be here in just a couple of days. Yeah, so. But, you know, we were happy to do that. It's possible that the church that rents from here might be paying us some more money that is a little bit back. So we'll be able to maybe have some of that to offset it. But anything that could come in, if you guys want to designate it and put it in the box or in the box back there, just say for soundboard on top of your tithe. You know, a few of you said, hey, you can use this for our tithe for this. Well, we use anything that comes in for the needs that are there. And so as long as the building payment's done and all of the bills are paid and you know, we've taken care of our obligations, then we could go ahead and use that. For the most part, what comes in here goes to almost everything.
Yeah.
Case in point, I paid almost a $700 water bill, which we get every 2 months. I know it's crazy. And then we get charged what's called a water assessment tax. They don't like us to say tax because churches aren't supposed to be taxed. But anyway, and that was like $650. I just paid that a Friday. So you just think that's $1,300 that was just in water-related stuff. Is that nuts?
We use that much water?
No, we don't use that much water. It's just because this property is on this big a lot, and it's like it's all part of their way they collect funds. Huh? That's crazy. I know. City Hall, do something. No, it won't.
Okay, you need to explain that the other church is leaving because you didn't ever say that.
Oh, the other church is leaving. Today is their last Sunday with us.
Oh, next week, I thought.
No, it's this week.
Oh.
Yeah, the last. Wow. This is the last day of April, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And they have been good renters. They've done, you know, obviously, you know, there's always issues and stuff, but they've had good hearts and they've been. Faithful to their commitments, so, and we're going to bless them and hope that they find a place that will meet their needs because they've had some income issues and stuff too, you know, which I guess is happening to a lot of churches. So, but we had a little business meeting. We weren't supposed to have a business meeting, but that's okay.
It is what it is.
Praise the Lord. You guys have a great day, and remember that if you follow Christ, you won't walk in darkness.
Right.